Hello there in Radio Land. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're now in the book of Mark, chapter 6, with 56 verses, translation and commentary. And we have several letters, and we also have a essay on that we are to go only with God, and how that Moses wouldn't take one step further unless he knew for sure that God was with him, and that's the way every Christian must be. Otherwise, they will perish. The Lord says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge and understanding and wisdom. They're his people. Perish means that they go to hell because they don't walk in the Spirit. So we also have, and the scriptures we'll be reading on that are from Exodus 33, verses 14 and 15, so you can prepare yourself for that while right after we pray. Now, Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, because that we know better than to trust in our own intelligence, because we're not intelligent. You are the intelligence of the entire universe. Therefore, we should and must, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, put on your intelligence. In other words, read your word, which is the highest intelligence in the universe, and use it as our guide to live our lives, to walk one day at a time, daily, in the straight and narrow path to the kingdom of God. It's so simple to just read a blueprint, your word, that leads to immortality, and it is extremely, if we're not filled with your Spirit, it's very hard. But walking in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, makes it so easy for us to walk the straight and narrow. And to keep our mind stayed upon you, we'll have perfect peace and a mind that is not crazy, but a sound mind. Not a mind that is here and there focused on the things of the world, and on the things of Satan, and moved like a reed whenever the wind puffs or blows one way or the other, but that we're stable no matter how the wind blows. We still go according to your word, your blueprint, into eternal life, immortality, into the kingdom of heaven. And so, Lord, let it be a learning process to read the Bible every day, and let everyone receive this message today to not take one step without you going with them. When people say go with God, they just say that as a cliche. People here, they pick up little cliches going to churches and so on, and they don't really realize what they're saying. But this message tonight is worth saying. I'm saying, let you not take one step out the door unless it's the Lord, and make sure that you know the Lord well enough, the word well enough, to know that you're not being led by the spirit of Satan, because Satan is always an imitator of God, a real poor imitator, an imitation, and so we need to be in the Spirit, sitting with Christ in heavenly places, and swimming in his word, where we know the difference between the counterfeit spirit and the real spirit of God. Lord, let every spiritual mind and eyes and ears be open to receive whatever it is. Let not one word, let not anything be said or done in this tape that is not directly from you. Lord, anoint with your outward anointing so that everything is from you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, what does Chicago, Illinois have to say?
Brethren, I am overwhelmed. I got your newsletter at our car park. I read Tony Alamo's testimony, and I was wondering how God could show you life and death. I said, he is lucky. A few weeks later, the Lord changed my life. He reminded me that I'm on this earth for a while. Soon I will be judged for every single act. I cried to the Lord, and I received peace that I had not experienced before.
This is true. You know, yesterday I was like 8 or 7 years old, and I remember it very well. I mean, I'm, you know, the same mind that you're born with, the same spirit that you're born with, is the same spirit you have in your body now. Now, your mind gets developed, so you know this and that, and your character is built up because of the environment that you've been. The very same thoughts of things I liked when I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I like now. It just seemed like I was 7 years old just the other day, because time goes by so fast. It's just amazing, especially when you're busy, and you're busy doing what you like to do. And I really love, I like being in the ministry. I like teaching people the things that the Lord wants me to teach them. But this man knows that soon he'll be standing before the judgment bar of God, and he wants to get right with the Lord now. And everyone, do the same, because you're not going to like it standing before the Lord and have him say, you knew, you were told, and you knew that there'd be a day of reckoning, and now it's here. That day of reckoning could be tonight or tomorrow, or could catch you in your sleep while you're sleeping. When the king of terrors comes to visit you, there's no way you can stop him from extracting your soul out of your husk, your body. The body will deteriorate, but the spirit lives on forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And so be like this man and realize what you're doing now and correct it and do as the Lord says. Put on the mind of Christ. Put on God's brain. Because when you're using his magnificent brain, you can't make mistakes. Okay, go ahead.
I told God to lead me and help me to conquer the devil. God bless you. May he continue to use you mightily. Please send me a Bible and study material. God bless you all. Zipporah from Chicago, Illinois.
See, now, when you're seeking the Lord for his wisdom and guidance, all you have to do is read the Bible. You'll not fall if you're just seeking him all the time. Then what?
The next letter is from Corcoran, California.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Lamo, peace, grace, and mercy from our Father God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your book, The Messiah, is a blessing to me and to the rest of my brothers here. Thanks for your love and faithfulness to our Lord! Some brothers here read the Messiah book and were so blessed by it that they want to bless their wives and the rest of their families with it by sending it to them. A couple of weeks ago you sent me one, and now I am wondering if you could please send me a couple more to give to those brothers, for them to send to their families and wives.
Absolutely. Send it, get it off to them. I assume that our people have already sent it out there. All right, go ahead.
Send me all the books and newsletters you can, and I will pass them around. I want to serve the Lord, and this is a wonderful way to do it.
Amen. Then what?
I am a prisoner in the special housing unit of Corcoran Prison.
And a special housing unit means that he's in the hole. They call it the SHU, S-H-U. I found this out when I was in prison for the gospel. Now, there's a lot of mighty men of God that were in the prison, like Jesus, all the apostles, and many of your prophets. They were all in prison. So I feel that I'm in a special fraternity, you know, a club where we're the elite. We've been to prison. I've been beaten for the gospel. You know, this is a special club. Most people never draw blood. They never know what it's like to be persecuted. I've been in jail many times for the gospel, for simply distributing gospel literature. They've tried to make, they're making that to be a crime these days. It's all right to distribute pornography. It's all right to distribute information on how you should have abortions, and, you know, how you don't even have to tell your parents that you're having abortions, but gospel literature is just evil to them. Just as the Bible says, in the last days they'll make that which is evil good, and that which is good evil. So we're living in an evil, the end of time, the most evil time of all. And so we need to get saved, every one of you out there, and you need to stand on the gospel, because the things that you're hearing, the things that the government is distributing, is false and evil, but what I'm telling you is good and holy and something that you're going to really be happy that you have when you stand before the Lord. Okay, and then what else?
For the moment, I cannot have any contact with other prisoners.
No, because you're in the hole. And that's, you know, I learned all these things while in prison. The SHU, the Special Housing Unit, SHU. Okay, then what else?
I want to preach the Word of God, which is impossible for the moment based on my situation.
Just have patience, brother. You won't be in there always. I've been in the SHU on several occasions, too, for just preaching the gospel. But I'm out now, and I'm out of prison. I'm preaching the gospel. Been out now for about 7-8 years, something like that, right?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, if I go back again, which I don't think I will, but if I do, I'll still keep preaching, even if I'm in a cell. I put out more gospel, or as much gospel in prison as I did when I was not in prison. So I was in bonds, but the gospel is not in bonds. And thank God I've got plenty of gospel literature out and plenty of these tapes so that even in the event that they murder me, the words that I've preached and taught are never going to die because people have them in their souls, and you can tell that they want to get out and preach the gospel when they hear the truth, when they hear the things that I've taught them that God has given me. All right, then what else?
But through your books and world newsletters, I can do my duty to present Jesus to
you
others.
I've got the books out already. You devils out there, the gospel is out of the bag. Yes, the gospel is out of the bag. Tra-la. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's off and going, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You can persecute, you can rant, rave, but God can also take your life or send a tsunami or a hurricane your way for being the way you are. And some people say that these hurricanes are natural disasters. No, they're not. Read the Bible, you'll see that God said he'd send them to sinful cities. And before they started calling New Orleans the Big Easy, they called it Sin City, USA. And so God shows everybody in the world what he thinks about Sin City. You mean to say God allows all these people to get killed and they're be disoriented as they are? Yes. And he brags about it. Read the Bible and you'll see. And this is just the beginning. You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse and worse because you people out in the world like to get worse and worse. And God will show you that you know you shouldn't worry so much about the terrorists out there because he's the grand terrorist. He brags about that in the Bible, too. He said he'd terrorize the world of sinners. Then he also said, the Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of God, we preach. Amen?
Amen.
We get the gospel out. So it's good to be terrified of the Lord. Well, I thought we were supposed to love him. Yeah? If you love his word and believe it, then you're afraid that the things that he says will definitely come to pass. So that's what you have to fear. You have to fear to sin, because if you sin, he's going to curse you. And he does that for a reason, in hopes that you'll repent. But some people just ain't got no sense. Like, for instance, the Lord just smote New Orleans, and now they're talking about opening up the French Quarter. Well, you know, so they can start drinking hog's blood again, which is absolutely forbidden by God. And tomato juice. Yuck! I mean, you people are unreal. And so that they start doing the things that they do down. Open the whorehouses. The pimps will be back in business. They want to get everything rolling again. God can say, they think, well, it only happens every 120 years or something like that. God can make that happen every 120 minutes, every 120 seconds if he desires. So don't get too porky down that way, because you're attempting to fight a living God. You're going to say, well, we're going to rebuild New Orleans. The Lord says, you'll rebuild, but I'll knock it down again. He says, you might make money, but I'll put holes in the bucket, and all the money will come out, and you won't even know where it went. It'll go so fast. And he also, again, as I said before, if you have this negative attitude towards God and positive attitude that you've learned in your Nathaniel Hill book about think and grow rich and all this kind of garbage, you'd better put your mind on the Lord instead of that, because what good would all the riches in the world be if you attained the entire earth and lost your soul? Who's going to take care of your money when you're gone? Where is it going to go? Solomon stated that he wouldn't know that one of his idiot sons might have the money that he acquired during the time of his life. So, you know, why work so hard? He says when he looks out the window, he sees these people eating the things that he grew. That's the only pleasure he got out of it, and living in the houses that he built. You can only live in one house, and he dastn't eat more than one meal at a time. You're liable to explode. Amen?
Amen.
Just don't do that. You have to kind of put the knife to your throat unless you want to blow up like a balloon. Okay, and then what else?
You are the only pastor, man of God, that really preaches the truth, and I want to be part of this you are preaching. I am a servant of Jesus Christ, therefore I am here to serve you too. Please hear my cry and answer positively. May God bless and keep you and all your near ones. Because of his blood, Carlos Castro from Kikoran, California.
Praise the Lord. Now, do you have another one?
Yes.
Where is this one from?
From Africa, Nigeria.
Okay.
Dear brethren in Christ, greetings in Jesus' name. I have the pleasure to write you after seeing the good work you are doing for the Lord in getting out the sound gospel through your gospel literature and by the Bibles you give to many. God bless you and keep up the good job. I am led by the Holy Spirit to get in touch with you and to express my willingness to be a part of this dynamic, soul-winning ministry. For this reason, I am begging you in Jesus' name to kindly accept me as one of your literature distributors in Nigeria.
You're accepted, brother. Then what else?
I want to distribute your sound Bible literature from house to house, from school to school, and even in the markets, streets, and churches. As I'm personally blessed by reading your literature, many will be touched and transformed by reading all your anointed publications. Please, I beg you in Jesus' name to send holy Bibles, even used ones, for many here who do not have Bibles and are crying for them. Send any material you have for soul winning for me to distribute.
We just had a trailer and a half of Bibles printed up, so we have plenty of them right now. And our Bibles are thicker than most of them because we've corrected some of the wrong translations in the King James Version. We use the King James, but you'll see that when you get the Bibles. They're really nice, nice-looking Bibles, too. Then go ahead.
There is a lot of crime and wickedness in Nigeria. If many are not rescued now in time, millions will spend eternity in hellfire. Please help me to help my people to turn from sin to the Lord Jesus. Please pray for me and my wife and my children. Pray that God might help me to win the lost to Christ before it is too late. I am waiting anxiously to hear from you soon. Thank you, and God bless you in Jesus' name. Your brother in Christ, O.T. Okpo.
All right, praise the Lord. Is that it now for letters and responses? Okay, then we'll go right into chapter 6 of Mark.
Jesus rejected at Nazareth, verse 1.
Jesus, just like they are rejecting him today. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that the whole world would be deceived in the last days. Are you one of them? The whole world. Now, the world means the world system. But those of us that are not part of the world system, we're in the world, but we're like lambs among wolves, sheep among wolves. Okay, so all you in the world system, come out from among it and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and be of the Lord. So you can be assured of immortality in heaven, not in the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. Verse 2. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who had heard him were astonished. They asked, quote, where did he get all his wisdom and the power to perform such miracles?
Yeah, the power, he says, that same power to do the miracles will follow everyone that believes, and that's why When I pray for people, the Lord is in me, and the Father's in me, and the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, the same miracles occur through those who are walking in the Spirit and realize what the powers are that the Lord has already provided for you. He's provided these powers, and the only way that people will know that we're of the Lord is that these powers are in us and are maintained in us on a daily basis. It's like the people of, like Moses told God, he says, if you don't go with us, then how will anybody know that we're of you, that we're a special people, that we're your chosen people? When God is with us, then all things are possible. Only believe. And so when I pray for people, they get healed. I mean, if they agree that the Word of God is true, if they agree with me, that the Word of God is true. God said, by my stripes, you were healed. It's not something that you have to expect today, or you expect it, but it isn't anything that he just did today or is going to do today. He already healed you. But you have to have the faith of a grain of mustard seed to believe that what he said is true. You know, God is, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the way, he is the, quote, truth, unquote, and the life. It's very easy to be saved. All you have to do is call upon him, and all that call upon him shall be saved, and all that call upon him in faith shall be healed. And he says, he commands those of us that are the elders, not that we've been around for 40 or 50 years in the gospel field, but that have been walking in the Spirit, that we are to lay hands on people, and that we're to pray for them, and they will recover from whatever it is. But so few people believe that. And you've just got to, if you want to have the blessings of the Lord, salvation, healing, prosperity, not the kind of prosperity that the world calls prosperity, but prosperity in the Lord. All right, then what else?
Verse 3. He's just the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us.
See, in other words, they're saying, you know, he's no big deal. He's just a carpenter's son. So you're never a prophet in your own town. People can't get it out of their minds, the things that they've seen you do. So you're a carpenter and you're a carpenter's helper. And yet they don't think that you could ever be a son of God or somebody that has got all these powers that can raise the dead, heal the blind eyes, the lepers, the cancer, the leukemia, the AIDS, and all these things. They just can't get into their head, especially in your own household, your brothers and sisters, your mother and your dad. It's hard for them because you were raised around them. Your mother changed your diapers. Your dad saw you, you know, when you were falling on your face, crawling up the drapes or whatever. And it's just kind of hard for them to believe that you're endowed with all these powers from God. And so the Lord said, you're never a prophet in your own hometown. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to roll with the punches on that one and just go to somebody that will believe what the Lord says so that they can receive their salvation and their healing. That's just tough, you know. Okay, then what else?
They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Verse 4. Then Jesus told them, quote, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own town and among his relatives and his own family, unquote.
There it is. Then what else?
Verse 5. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them.
No, because you have to agree with the Lord when you want to be healed. You have to agree that by my stripes, you were healed. But you say, well, I don't like it coming from you. Well, let me, you know, in the Bible there was a donkey that spoke, that God was speaking through the mouth of. You better believe the donkey or whoever the Lord is preaching the gospel from, because it's God talking through them. I always ask the outward anointing of the Lord to speak through me during a message, and that's what I pray this time. Every time I pray that now. And so if it's the Lord talking through me, I don't care if you're my brother, or I don't have any sisters, natural sisters, I've got brothers, and you better believe me, bro. All right? Then what?
Verse 5.
But I guess it's not me, it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't agree with him that the Lord was true. So it doesn't matter if my little boy comes up to me and he says, Dad, the Lord said this. And I asked the Lord, did you tell him that? And if he did, so I'm going to believe him. Amen. I'm not going to go along with this scripture here to be as those people were, that they wouldn't believe somebody just because he came from their own hometown. Okay, what else?
Verse 6, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. Then Jesus went out from village to village teaching. Verse 7, and he called his 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two with authority to cast out evil spirits.
So they had the power to cast out evil spirits. I do also. You don't go to some Catholic unsaved priest to cast out evil spirits because they themselves are possessed with them. You say, why, you're just, bad, you know. Well, they are. Okay, and so... Yeah, I'm sorry if I, you get offended at the truth, but you better not. The Lord says, you're not to be offended at the truth. Now, if you do something to one of the Lord's littlest ones, which means the born-again of the Spirit Christians, then you're offending him and his little ones. But if I offend by the Word of God anybody, then your God is offended with you. I'm telling you the truth, and if you're offended at that, you're offended at the Word of God. And so there's something you're going to have to pay for that, according to God. Then what? He said, blessed is he that is not offended in me, the truth. Some people say, well, you could say things nicer than you do, Tony. You don't have to say it the way you do. Don't tell me how to preach. The Lord was much stronger than me. He called people snakes, dogs, pigs. Okay? And if God said that, and that's the way you are, then that's what you are. All right? Vipers. You children of the devil. Okay, I haven't said that today. You'll hear me say it from time to time, but I haven't said it today yet. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 8. He told them to take nothing with them except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. Verse 9. He told them to wear sandals, but not to take even an extra coat.
Well, wow. How many people have that kind of faith today? Just walk out the door. Just walk out the door with what you got on your back. Don't take a little bag with you. Some people take great big suitcases and all kinds of stuff. No, he wants you to travel light. Then what?
Verse 10, quote, when you enter each village, be a guest in only one home, unquote, he said.
Don't be a house hopper. Okay, then what else?
Verse 11, quote, and if a village won't welcome you or listen to you, shake off its dust from your feet as you leave. It is a sign that you have abandoned that village to its fate, unquote. Verse 12, so the disciples went out, telling all they met to turn from their sins. Verse 13, and they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil.
See, they actually have the power because they're of the Lord. And when the Lord sent them out to do it, he empowered them with that power to cast out devils and heal the sick. Okay, then what? Because these signs will follow those that believe. Okay, then what?
The death of John the Baptist. Verse 14. Herod Antipas, the king, soon heard about Jesus because people everywhere were talking about him. Some were saying, quote, this must be John the Baptist come back to life again. That is why he can do such miracles, unquote. Verse 15. Others thought Jesus was the ancient prophet Elijah. Still others thought he was a prophet like the other great prophets of the past. Verse 16. When Herod heard about Jesus, he said, quote, John, the man I beheaded, has come from the dead, unquote. Verse 17, for Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. Verse 18. John kept telling Herod, quote, "It is illegal for you to marry your brother's wife," unquote. Verse 19. Herodias was enraged and wanted John killed in revenge. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless. Verse 20. And Herod respected John, knowing that he was a good and holy man. So he kept him under his protection. Herod was disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so he liked to listen to him. Verse 21. Herodias' chance finally came. It was Herod's birthday, and he gave a party for his palace aides, all the officers and the leading citizens of Galilee. Verse 22. Then his daughter, also named Herodias, came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased them all. Quote, "Ask me for anything you like," unquote, the king said to the girl. Quote, "And I will give it to you," unquote. Verse 23. Then he promised, quote, "I will give you whatever you ask, up to half of my kingdom," exclamation point, unquote. Verse 24. So she went out and asked her mother, quote, "What should I ask for?" unquote. Her mother told her, quote, "Ask for John the Baptist's head," exclamation point, unquote. Verse 25. So the girl hurried back to the king and told him, quote, "I want the head of John the Baptist right now on a tray," exclamation point, unquote. Verse 26. Then the king was very sorry, but he was embarrassed to break his oath in front of his guests. Verse 27. So he sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and bring it to him. The soldier beheaded John in the prison. Verse 28. Brought his head on a tray and gave it to the girl, who took it to her mother. Verse 29. When John's disciples heard what had happened, they came for his body and buried it in a tomb. Jesus feeds 5,000. Verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and what they had taught. Verse 31. Then Jesus said, quote, "Let's get away from the crowds for a while and rest," unquote. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Verse 32. They left by boat for a quieter spot. Verse 33. But many people saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and met them as they landed. Verse 34. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. Verse 35. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, quote, "This is a desolate place, and it is getting late." Verse 36. "Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy themselves some food," unquote. Verse 37. But Jesus said, quote, "You feed them," unquote. Quote, "With what?" unquote, they asked. Quote, "It would take a small fortune to buy food for all this crowd," unquote. Verse 38. Quote, "How much food do you have?" unquote, he asked. Quote, "Go and find out," unquote. They came back and reported, quote, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unquote. Verse 39. Then Jesus told the crowd to sit down in groups on the green grass. Verse 40. So they sat in groups of 50 or 100. Verse 41. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and asked God the Father's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples to give to the people. Verse 42. They all ate as much as they wanted. Verse 43. And they picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. 44. 5,000 men had eaten from these 5 loaves. Jesus walks on water. Verse 45. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and head out across the lake of Bethsaida while he sent the people home. Verse 46. Afterward, he went out into the hills by himself to pray. Verse 47. During the night, the disciples were in their boat out in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. Verse 48. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he came to them, walking on the water. He started to go past them. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the water, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. Verse 50. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Quote, "It's all right," unquote, he said. Quote, "I am here," exclamation point. "Don't be afraid," unquote. verse 51. Then he climbed into the boat and
you know,
wind...
when the Lord is with you, and we've got this message today that God, go only with God. When he's with you, you don't have to be afraid. Amen? And that's why he says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. All right? So people have to remember that God is with you. If you're born again of the Spirit, you must remember that he's with you. And that when he's saying, don't be afraid, I'm with you, then don't be afraid. All right? Because there's nothing going to happen. Fear is not going to, other than the fear of the Lord, of course, we must fear the Lord and keep his commandments. But we're not to fear anything else. Just fear God and keep his commandments, and then God is with you. And whatever's going to be is going to be, all right? And it'll be good that you go through it, like biting the bullet, so to speak. Then what?
Verse 51. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were astonished at what they saw. Verse 52. They still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the multiplied loaves, for their hearts were hard, and they did not believe.
They didn't believe that God himself came to this world in the flesh, and that was God in a human being, and that God can do everything. The Bible plainly states that it was Jesus, the Word, that created everything in the heavens and the earth, and so they just marvel that God is able to do that or raise the dead. And you know, why should it be a hard thing for you to believe that the Lord can speak to the wind and to the sea and say, peace, be still, and it's still, because he is the controller of the very elements of the entire universe, everywhere, everything. And if he says something, believe it. By my stripes you were healed. Now believe that and be healed, you sickies out there. All right? Receive it and be glad. Be glad that the Lord is good and that he took care of this a long time ago. By the stripes that he took before he went to the cross, the death on the cross, he paid. That was the payment. He paid for your healing. If you're going to allow, by doubt, the devil to put doubt into your heart that the Lord healed you, well then, be sick, all right? Let the devil steal what the Lord has done for you, all right? No, I'm just don't want you to do that, but if that's the way you are, if you don't believe God, well then, be sick. All right, then what?
Verse 53, when they arrived at Gennesaret on the other side of the lake, they anchored the boat, verse 54, and climbed out. The people standing there recognized them at once. Verse 55, and they ran throughout the whole area and began carrying sick people to him on mats. Verse 56, wherever he went, in villages, in cities, and out on the farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and streets. The sick begged him to let them at least touch the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were healed.
Right, and yet, after him doing all these things, they still crucified him to the cross. That goes to show how wicked people are. Yeah, they've gotten it out now that the Word of God, which is Christ, is wicked, and that the bunch of ungodly, fatherless children, if you don't have God for your father, Jesus said, you're a bastard. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what a bastard is a person that doesn't have a father. Well, your worldly father isn't much. I mean, he just fathered you, but in order to be born again in the Spirit, you must be fathered by God. And if you're not, if you don't receive the Spirit of truth, then are ye bastards, the Apostle Paul says. The Spirit said it through Jesus and through Paul and through me. I had no intentions of calling you, if you're not of the Lord, bastard tonight. It's just coming straight from heaven. Because you know why? It's the truth. Amen? Okay, now we have commentary.
Chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. When you experience the joy of growth in the Lord, you naturally want to share the good news of the gospel, the Messiah's coming, with others. Christ is born in you afresh. He's born again, the Messiah in you. Yet you are not always well received. The disciples faced rejection as well, but it didn't bother them at all if they were rejected, no matter where they traveled. They healed people and preached repentance and deliverance to them. They were paired off and told what to take. They had to go in twos, and that's the way we at this church like to keep it that way. Because if somebody falsely accuses one of us, you always have a witness to deny what the people are saying and to tell the truth. They were told what to take, where to stay, and for how long, and what to do when they were rejected. As you share the healing you have experienced in salvation and in the process of growth to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, not everyone will be responsive to you. When ridiculed or rejected, you must press on to share your faith and hope with the next person who is struggling because of the lack of faith. Sharing your testimony and the message of the Lord will be the difference between life and death for someone in need. Chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. The disciples demonstrated accountability to Jesus by reporting their activities to him while they were out in the ministry. At the same time, Jesus encouraged them to take care of themselves by drawing them away for rest and solitude. To continue helping others, the disciples needed time apart for personal reflections and refreshment. Unfortunately, their time apart was delayed by the many who followed them. You must balance your life as well, taking some time apart to recharge your spiritual and emotional batteries, so to speak. As you take time to reflect, you will learn the lessons of humility and dependence on God that are necessary for your progress in growth to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. You may lose sight of Jesus, but Jesus never loses sight of you. That's the lesson for people in, quote, deep water, unquote, who appreciate his threefold miracle. 1. Jesus walked on the water. 2. He calmed the storm. 3. He saw the disciples' boat safely to shore. See John chapter 6, verse 21. Despite many such miracles, the disciples still had not realized how powerful Jesus was. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to him. All of us can recall a time, or many times, when Jesus intervened in our lives to show us how much he really cares, when we began to waver. The disciples were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he came to them walking on the water. He started to go past them, but he didn't, praise the Lord. King Herod and his family. Certain names in history immediately bring to mind images of horror, violence, greed, and cruelty. Several Herods are mentioned in the Bible in the New Testament. The first Herod, the Great, was called, quote, the Great, unquote, because of his ambitious and lavish building projects, including the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. His character, however, was anything but great. He was known for his cruelty, jealousy, and insatiable lust for power and wealth. Herod was appointed king by the Romans, but many of his Jewish subjects never really accepted him as a legitimate ruler. Herod was not really of Jewish descent. He was actually an Idumean from the land south of Judea. Because of this, Herod was uneasy about any threat to his position and responded with swift cruelty to the slightest rumor of disloyalty. The Herods didn't hesitate to have even their own family members murdered if it would be to their own advantage. Herod Antipas, Herod the Great's son, is well known for his role in killing John the Baptist. Another descendant, Herod Agrippa I, was especially responsible for the death of the Apostle James. A grandson, Agrippa II, heard the truth of the gospel directly from the Apostle Paul. In fact, each of the Herods had an encounter with a messenger from God, but refused to respond to the truth. Herod the Great's failure to respond to God's truth grew out of his greed and insecurity. As a result, Herod left his children and grandchildren a heritage of greed and cruelty. It is important that we seriously consider what heritage we are leaving our children. We are able to either remain in our denial and pass on our dysfunctions, or we are able to choose the path of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and King and grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ and build happy and meaningful futures for our children and grandchildren. There is a great deal at stake in being a born-again Christian and receiving the truth. We are fighting for more than just our own life. We must be fighting for the lives of others, not only our own countless descendants, but for the souls of the people of the entire world.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Mark chapter 6, the translation in commentary. And now from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 14 and 15, I've entitled this Not Going Anywhere Without God. All right, and this is conversations between Moses and the Lord. Go ahead.
Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 15. We'll go to the middle of verse 12. Moses is talking, quote, "You call me by name and tell me I have found favor with you." Verse 13, "Please, if this is really so, show me your intentions. What do you intend to do with me, so I will be able to understand you all the way, and that I may do exactly what you want me to do?"
See, Moses was a real strong person of the Lord because he wanted to do only exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. He wanted to know, "What are your intentions to do with me, Father? I don't want to just wake up in the morning and not know what to do. I want to know where you want me to go, and I want to know it exactly so that I will go there exactly the way you say that you want me to go. I want to do during the course of every day what you want me to do. I don't want to go one step without you, without knowing what you want me to do." Then go ahead.
"Besides, don't forget that this nation is your own people."
Now, in other words, he's telling God, don't forget. Like God is a senile, forgetful person. "Don't forget, these are your people, Lord. I don't have that much unmitigated gall to tell God, don't forget something. Or, remember me, Lord." As though he's forgetful. He knows everything. I had such an experience with the Lord when, just before I was saved, that it's no possible way that I could ever doubt that he knows everything of what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, where I'm going, everything. I know he knows everything. He's not a forgetful God, so don't take on that same spirit as Moses, who says, "Don't forget," to God, "remember," and all that kind of stuff. He's like warning God to remember and don't forget. Don't be that stupid. All right. Then what? To argue with God or to doubt or underestimate him or insult his intelligence. Then what?
"Now listen to this."
Now listen to me, God. Okay. I know that the Lord's listening. Okay. Then what else?
Verse 14. "And the Lord replied, quote, I will personally go with you, Moses. In other words, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to live among you."
But not in you, like he does today. But so many people that call themselves Christians forget that God is not only with you, but in you. And you've got to remember that in order for you to be able to be different than the other people in the world. And if the people in the world can't see that you're different than they are, then there's no possible way that they can be saved. They may call you weird or peculiar or, you know, an oddball. But, you know, as long as God is with me, what do I care if you call me a chocolate-covered peanut or a vanilla-colored peanut? I don't care. Okay, just so long as God knows that I know him and that he knows me. I know he knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. Okay, then what?
"I will give you rest."
Yeah, that's Sabbath. Okay, rest. To know that no one's going to kill you. No one's going to harm one hair on your head because I'm with you. I'm going to go with you. You're going to be just fine. Who's going to hurt? If God be with us, who could be against us, okay? I won't even let you give me a haircut, okay, because God's with me. Amen?
Amen.
You can't even cut one of my hairs, let alone pluck one of them off, unless God allows you to do it, and it must be something that I did if that's happening. Then what else?
Everything will be fine for you, unquote.
Everything will be fine because I'm with you. Okay, then what?
Certainly we know if Christ is with us, if the Almighty God is with us, that we would be at peace and have rest, because we're not at all worried about anything when the Lord is with us.
But you've got to remember that the Lord is with you, if He really is. And if He is, and you say from time to time, well, the Lord is with me, well, then why are you frightened? Suddenly, you forget. He must forget it sometimes that He's with you. Some people are afraid of a mouse or a roach. Okay, go ahead.
That's why it's so important to do as Moses says. He says, quote, I want to know everything that you want me to do, because I want to do it. I don't want to just hear about it, but I want to do it. Verse 15, quote, then Moses said, quote, if you don't go with us personally, don't let us move a step from this place.
Now this is in the Bible, okay? Don't let us move one step out the door or out into the wilderness or anywhere unless you're with us. I'm not going to go anywhere without you. I've got to know that the Lord is with me. That's important. But some people, it never even enters their mind to think about, is God with me or not? They just say, somebody says, let's go. They say, okay. They never stop to think, is this of the Lord? That never enters their mind to question the zeal of somebody else to have you do something that they want you to do. But you never think to ask the Lord, is this what you want me to do? Are you with me if I do this, Lord? Shall I go with you to this place? Are you going to be with me there? Will you be with me if I go here? Will you be with me if I go there? I'm not going one step, Moses said, unless I know you're with me. Wouldn't that be something? If everybody was that way, then miracles would happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 16. If you don't go with us, how will anyone in the world ever know that your people and I have found favor with you?
Yeah. If you're not with us, then there's no going to be any miracles. And how will people know that? Read that again. How will people know what?
How will people, anyone in the world ever know that your people and I have found favor with you?
Yeah. People know that we found favor with the Lord, because if you come to me for healing, you'll be healed. That is, if you agree with God. But if you don't believe the word that He's healed you already, then you won't be healed. Fortunately, I would say 99 9/10% of the people that have come to me for healing are healed. You don't see many deaths in my church. Of course, we die, and thank God for that, because this world is wicked, you know. And I was disappointed very much when the Lord told me that I wasn't going to get to go with Him right at the time that He appeared before me, before my eyes, right when my eyes are wide open in a very dark room. So I'm not afraid for this body to die, because my spirit's going to go on forever with Him in heaven. And thank God for that. Thank God we are not going to stay here. All right, then keep going.
It's very important for us to have God with us, so that the people in the world can see that God is definitely with us. How else will the people of the world know that we are special and distinct from all other people on the earth? Verse 17, quote, and the Lord replied to Moses, quote, I will indeed do what you have asked, for you have found favor with me, and you are my friend, unquote.
You are my friend. Isn't that nice? For God to say, you're my friend. So many people are unfriendly with the Lord, and they don't want to be His friend. They never talk to Him. They never pray. But the Lord tells us to pray without ceasing and to pray always. Amen?
Amen.
And why? Because He wants, he saved our souls, and he wants us to be thankful for it, and he wants us to communicate with him. He wants us, he wants to believe that you believe him, that he is a God that hears and answers prayer, that he hears. You got something wrong with you, you never pray, and you never pray in faith believing? Well then, don't wonder why you're not healed or get answers. Some people say, God puts me on hold. He hasn't put you on hold. He never puts me on hold. It doesn't even occur to me that he'd do such a thing as that. He said, God is wonderful. Okay, then what?
So the main focus there is Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 and 15. God told him that his presence would go with Moses, and he would give him the rest that he wanted. Quote, then he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. We don't want to go one step further, unquote. The first aspect here is that the Lord promised Moses that his presence would go with him and the people of Israel. The second aspect is that the Lord promised Moses to give him rest, or Sabbath. The rest which the Lord referred to here is the rest in the good land, and with us he promises us eternal everlasting rest in the good land, the land of milk and honey. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven.
Right. The Canaan land was only symbolic of that which is permanent. God uses the things here on earth to as a type or a figure or a symbol of that which is in heaven. He even had the temple built the way that we, who are the real temple of God, are to be furnished with all the different implements, and we have to be like gold inside, overlaid with gold, the Spirit of God. We have to be perfect. And so that's the thing that we should strive for. Perfection means that we're walking in the Spirit, under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Well, I see that our hour is up, and so tomorrow we'll be reading from, God willing, we'll be reading from the book of Mark, chapter 7, with this 56, with however many verses there are in it. And then we'll have another message which should encourage you to go with God and Him only. Plus we'll have letters and commentary. Until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo stating, really, from the depth of my heart, God bless you. Keep your mind stayed upon the Lord and realize that He knows you, He hears you, He wants you to talk to Him today and every day. So God bless you, and praise the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. In Jesus' name, amen.